All right, good morning. Great to be here with you this morning. As Pastor Mark said, I have the pleasure and the honor of serving as the academic provost at MBTS. Anybody know what a provost is? Yeah, I don't know either. So trying to figure that out. It just means I'm oversee all of our academic programs and our academic regulations and things like that. And so it's really, we have a great team of deans who oversee the different language programs we have and our doctoral studies. And I really enjoy getting to work with them. And very thankful to be here with you all this morning. And in some sense, continuing to celebrate our partnership that we have had with Pontai Baptist Church for many years, and we are very thankful for, as Dr. Ong said, your continued support and partnership as we move into the future. We heard from one of our students, our testimony. Winnie was one of my all-time favorite students for two reasons. One, she did excellent work, always asked excellent questions, had good insight, did really quality work. It's always a joy to work with students like that. Secondly, she's my wife, so that also, you know, that also helped a little bit in terms of, you know, so that's really good. But good to hear from her and hear her testimony. Hopefully, it encouraged you to consider the possibility of studying with us. I also like to say, just before we get into the text, man, the worship was fantastic this morning. I mean, I was like, right? Can we? Thank the team for leading us. I'm ready to move to KL and join this church and like sign me up. It was that good. But very encouraging to see some younger guys and gals stepping up and leading us in worship. And that should be, I think, very encouraging to all of us who love the church in Malaysia and especially the Baptist church. And at MBTS, that's our heart. That's our desire. In fact, our vision statement is to equip men and women for the ministries that God has called them to. And so when we see, you know, the next generation, the younger generation beginning to take ownership and to take that, you know, that baton that has been passed to them by another generation, it is very encouraging to us, and we want to continue to fan that flame that the Lord has entrusted to us. Our text this morning is Romans 15. And as you guys are this month spending some time thinking about the missionary task and this idea of the Great Commission and the go of the Great Commission, this morning our task as we come to God's Word is to think about that aspect of the Great Commission where it says, go and make disciples of all nations. So how do we think about that? How do we think about the Great Commission and this call to make disciples, and really intrinsic in the call that Christ has given to us to see the church make disciples of all nations? Kind of an assumption built in there is something has to be done to equip people, men and women, to be able to do this ministry that God has given to us, to prepare, to equip ourselves so that we can make disciples. And so how do we think about that? How do we process that? How should we think about that even as individual believers who are members of a local church? And I think Romans 15 is a good text for us. In fact, there are four things here. As Paul describes his own ministry and missionary calling, there are four things that can help us reflect on this call to go and make disciples of all nations. First one, we can see here in verse 16, what we may call the aim of missions. The aim of missions in verse 16, that the Gentiles may be acceptable. Okay, in verse 16, we put it up there in the next one. Oh, I'm supposed to advance it. Sorry, that's my fault. In verse kind of picking up in verse 15, Paul says, because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles and the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now there's a lot here, right, in this wording, but here's what we see. Paul understands that he has been called by God and given a specific task. And that's what he's doing. Like we see in the book of Acts, he's laboring every day, facing trials, suffering, being beaten. Why? For this task that God has given to him. He's laboring each day so that he can, at the end of his life, right, when all is said and done, all is over, he can present this offering to God. What is the offering? The offering is that people who, right, before he started laboring, didn't know Christ, had no knowledge of Christ, had never heard of Christ, are now walking with Christ. That's the offering that he desires to give. He says, this is, we see rest in the later in the text, right? This is his life's ambition. Everything and everything he does, everything he says, every day, every hour, every minute, every second is bent towards this goal. One overarching purpose. Now, in Acts, we see Paul's doing a lot of things. And oftentimes we focus on the gospel proclamation and the planting of churches, but he's also tent making. He has to work to support himself. So he's doing a lot of different things. But even in those things, what's his purpose? He's doing those things so that the Gentiles may have an opportunity to hear the gospel, and when all is said and done, they can be presented to God, as he says here in verse 16, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Right? And that phrase there gives us this picture of people who have come to know Christ, who have been saved in Christ, and who have been made holy in Christ and through the work of the Spirit, right? Saving them, helping them grow in their walk with Christ, depending on Christ, and then they're acceptable before God because of Paul's work of sharing the gospel in every place he goes. Now, we can back up a little bit and say, recognize the church today has a similar calling. The church today has a similar calling of what we see here in Paul. Paul says, look, I'm laboring so that I can present the Gentiles as an offering to God. Here's the reality. God wants the church today to do the same thing. We are continuing that ministry that Paul started to take the gospel to the Gentiles so that when our lives are over, so that when our work is done, there may be some who are presented to God as an acceptable offering, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Every church, every believer has a similar calling. In fact, the wording that Paul uses here, right? A priestly calling to take what has been entrusted to us in the gospel and share it out with those around us. We are called to be a light to the community where we live and serve. Every believer has this calling, even if certainly there are some, right? We read this passage, we say, yep, I resonate with what Paul's saying. I want to do the same thing. I want to go, and that's often where we land during Missions Month, right? I want to go to those places that are far out, never heard the gospel. But that's not the only thing that's in vision here. It also means that some of us will do this and will live out this calling and this priestly service and role in the workplace. In fact, most of us who are here today will do that. Most of us will do that. We will live out this priestly calling in the workplace. But the calling is on all of us. We all have a similar calling. as Paul does here. Certainly different for many of us, unique for each of us. God desires all of us to play a part in this work. We have a lady at our church who she works in data entry. Now, for my part, some of you may also do similar work, so don't take offense here, but in my mind, I can't think of anything more boring or mundane, right? Just entering data into some spreadsheet somewhere. She's really good at it. And she sees that work as an opportunity to glorify God. Here's the amazing thing, right? She had a coworker that she was working with who was not only an unbeliever, but he was like one of these kind of almost, it almost kind of blows my mind, like zero exposure to the gospel before, like never heard of the gospel. And so just because she's working with him, she shares the gospel with him and he's like mind blown, begins to ask her all of these questions. What do Christians believe about this? What do they believe about that? How do you explain this? How do you explain that? So she says, you know what? If you're really that interested in what Christians do, you should come to our church. So he does. And he comes to church and he sits through worship service and he grabs me and another pastor and he begins to ask all these questions. Why is it that when you guys gather together, you spend all this time reading and talking about this old book that was written like 2,000 years ago? This is weird. And we're like, here's why, you know? And he's like, yeah, but I mean, doesn't it contain errors? So we spent all this time talking with him. I just found out about 2 days ago that he came back and he said, you know what? I mean, this is crazy. I don't understand, but I think I want to follow Christ. Right? How did all of this start? Here's a guy who had almost no exposure to the gospel before, but because he's in the workplace with someone who loves the Lord and sees their work as a means of glorifying God, he hears the gospel. He comes to church. He asks more questions, and now he wants to follow Christ. This is what Paul is pointing to. For all of us, this is the calling on us. And this should be the desire of our heart, that the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified in the Holy Spirit. We all have a role to play in this process. All of us. Going to look different for every single one of us. All of us should desire to glorify God in this way. We should be burdened in this way. I desire Gentiles to be acceptable to God, and I want to do something about it. Secondly, we see here what we might call the path of missions, or the process or the mindset of missions. And here's what Paul says as he begins to kind of flesh out more of this. He says, you know, in Christ, in verse 17, I have reason to be proud of my work. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word, by deed, by power of signs, wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. And then he goes on, right? So here's what we see. Paul going, look, I'm laboring for this. Laboring for this thing that the Gentiles might know. I'm laboring for this thing that Gentiles might be acceptable. We go back to the book of Acts, right? We see Paul doing all of these things. A really mind-blowing amount of things that Paul does. And the number of places where he does it. I mean, it's just like bam, 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 right? Like one thing after another. I mean, he's sharing the gospel with unbelievers. He's healing people. He's casting out demons. He's working. Not emphasized quite as much in the book of Acts, but he's doing a lot of that. Planting churches. He's appointing elders. He's going back. He's visiting them again. I mean, he's always doing something, always on the move. We might look at that and we'd be like, I mean, this is amazing. Like, if there's ever someone that could get to the end of their days and say, I have reason to be proud of all that I did for the Lord, it's Paul. And what does he say? It's not about me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't get any, hey, let me list all my qualifications. Let me list all the things that I did to impress you. Does he do that? No. What does he say? What does he say? I will not speak of anything except what Christ accomplished through me. Not what I accomplished, not what I did, not how successful I am, not all the things I did, churches I planted, people I shared with. Let me count them up. Let me add it up. Let me say, no, what does he say? What Christ accomplished through me. Right? You see that? It's not about me. It's not about me, but about what Christ is doing through me. And the picture that we see here in Paul is he did a lot of stuff, but he did it all by looking to Christ, by depending on the strength that God provided to him, prayerfully depending. And that's what we see in Acts, right? He has a plan, but sometimes the Holy Spirit changes the plan. And he's depending on God through Christ, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants us to do, to prayerfully, whatever it is that you are doing, whatever field that you are working in, this is what God desires for us, to prayerfully depend on him in everything that we do. Now that doesn't guarantee success, like some people say, right? Oh, if I pray a lot, that means I'm going to be successful. No, it doesn't. It means you're going to be holy. And that's what God desires for us, to look to him and depend on him and to love him and to grow in those things throughout our lives. Now, we may pause here and say, okay, look, if everything in life for me, like I get it, Dr. Brooks, like if we, you know, God's got some stuff he wants us to do, he's got a calling on each one of us, and he's got some stuff he wants our church to do, but if everything that we do or that is done is something Christ does in me, this is great, because it means I don't have to prepare for it. All right, God's just going to do whatever he wants to do. Holy Spirit's going to do what he wants to do. I can just sit back and watch it happen, right? I can say something dumb. Holy Spirit's going to fix it, right? No, that's not what Paul means. And it's not what Paul did either. In fact, built into the timeline of Acts, again, sometimes not very clear, because the writer of Acts has a specific purpose to kind of show us some of the things that happened in the early church. But actually, when Paul first came to faith, he then spent about 9 years preparing for ministry, studying. There's a period in there. Again, it's not exactly spelled out in Acts. It takes a little bit deeper study to pull that out. But there's several periods in his life where he paused to do deeper study and to prepare. And probably what that looked like was going back. I mean, he knew the Old Testament well, but going back, studying the Old Testament well, becoming more familiar with what Jesus did in his life, making those, and then we see the fruit of that in the way he presents the gospel, and we see the fruit of that in the letters that he wrote to the churches. So this is true for all of us. This is true for all of us. We need to prepare. Yes, yes, we get to the end and we say, this is what Christ accomplished in me. But many times Christ accomplishes stuff in us because of the effort we put in. We work with God. In fact, that's a saying of Paul in 2 Corinthians. We're working with you. We're working with you for your joy. God works with us. And so we prepare. And this is, again, this is the work we do at MBTS, to try to prepare people for ministry, but not as you often think. Sometimes I get pushback from people, and they say, I love to study at seminary, but I can't move to Penang. You know, I mean, I love to take some seminary classes, but you know, I can't like move and live on campus for 2 years or 3 years. Great, you don't have to. As Winnie shared in her testimony, she took a lot of classes online. Being a stay-at-home mom, that helped her, because she had the flexibility to study when she wanted to, take classes when she was able to, or do the work when she wanted to. You may say, well, I don't really need a full degree, so, man, seminary sounds great, but I don't. That's okay. We have certificate programs. It's not a full degree if you're not called to do that. You can just take a class on a, we have classes that meet one Saturday every month. You can take it when you want to. You don't have to take the next one if you're not interested in that one, right? So we have lots of options. Sometimes I hear from people, they say, yeah, I mean, like, we got a lot of people that are untrained and MBTS is not offering. No, we're offering a lot of things in a lot of different fashions. If you have any interest at all in knowing the Bible better, or knowing, sometimes again, we think about theology, oh man, it's some kind of academic. No, theology is about knowing God. If you want to know God better, I promise you, we have a class and a platform where you can do that. You don't have to earn a whole degree. Now, I'd encourage you, if you're going to take some classes, why not go ahead and finish a degree? But you don't have to finish a degree. You can just take some classes with us. Again, certificate level, bachelor's level, master's level. We have doctoral work. Lots and lots of doctoral students, actually, nowadays. So there are whatever kind of work you're doing, whenever you do have time to study and learn and grow in your knowledge of God, whatever format that looks like, whenever you're available, whatever you want to do, whatever ministry God is calling you to, we have something for you, okay? Come talk to one of us or send us an email, and we'll help you find out what that looks like. But the point is here, right? We want to be prepared. Sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know what the next season of life may be for us. We have a lot of students that are in that situation. We have a lot of students who were in successful businessmen or in a certain field or whatever, and then because their church had some needs, they said, hey, I want to serve my church. So they came and they took some classes and they found out, hey, I'm actually good at this. And they're doing great work in their church because they desire to prepare for whatever God might be doing in them or through them or in their church in the years to come. So brothers and sisters, let me just encourage you. God has some things that he desires to do through you in your life, in your vocation, in your family, in your community, in your neighborhood. So take the time to prepare. Take the time to prepare for whatever it is God may be doing in your life. Third, we see here, okay, we've seen that the aim of missions, the path of missions, that God, Christ, is doing it through us. And then the ambition of mission we see here in verse 20, where Paul says, he says, look, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Paul's desire is to go to those places where people have not heard the gospel, to go to those places where there is no church. And this is still a need today. This is still a need today. We live in a world where there are literally billions of people who have never heard the gospel. Not even once, not even one time in their life have they had an opportunity to hear about the saving work of Christ. All of them created by God, loved by God, God desires every one of them to have an opportunity to hear in their heart language about who he is, about his, all those things that we sang about this morning, his goodness, his faithfulness. They need those truths in their lives. They need to be reconciled to their Savior. Some of us, maybe some of us here today, God desires to send us to those places, to see us actually go, short time or for a long time, to go there and live among those people and learn their culture and language so that we can be the ones to share the gospel with them. But even if we aren't called to that, God has a role for us to play in that process. He desires all of us to at least be burdened by the fact that there are people who have not had an opportunity to hear. The reality is, as well, that there may be people in our neighborhood who have never heard the gospel. There are certainly people that are not walking with Christ or have not believed the gospel. They need to hear the gospel from us. There may be people like that in our families that we need to faithfully share the gospel with and pray for on a regular basis, that God would open their hearts to the truth that we see in Scripture. Christ alone is Savior of men. My boys and I had the opportunity last summer in June to travel to Nepal, and we went trekking with some coworkers of mine, way out there, and we had a group of Nepali believers with us, and we hiked out for days and days, it seemed, straight up, boom, you know, straight up into the sky, and we went to these small villages, and in every village we went to, zero believers. Every single village that we crossed, zero believers. In fact, not only zero believers, but I couldn't speak with them, but some of the Nepali believers that were with us, they went out and they had some conversations with them, and they came back and they were like, yeah, not only are they not believers, they've never heard anything of the gospel before. And they were blown away. I mean, mind blown. They were like, we can't believe that there are people like this. And they came back to us and they said, this is really bad. Somebody needs to come here. Somebody needs to come here more often. Now, keep in mind, these were places that like we drove, you know, for like, I don't know, 12 hours or 14 hours to get to a place where we could hike for 4 or 5 days to get out to where they, I mean, there's a reason that they've never heard the gospel before, and it's not easy to get there. But can I tell you that in every place we went, guess what was there? Coke. Coca-Cola is there. Coca-Cola is there. Snickers were there. Okay? So if they can get Coca-Cola there, we ought to be able to figure out, the church ought to be able to figure out how to get the gospel there. And there are lots of places like this in our world. You may not necessarily go there yourself. I may not, right? We may not go to all of these places where far away places where people have never heard the gospel, but somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. We all ought to be burdened that there are places like this in the world. Paul's one, right? It says, this is my ambition. This is my ambition. We have lots of students at seminary that this is their ambition, this is their calling, this is what they're preparing for. We have one, we had one graduate from a few years ago. She actually served cross-culturally for a few years before coming to us, studied, excellent student, could have done anything in ministry, but she's now preparing to go to Kenya, to a really hard place, like a really remote village where there's no running water and all these kinds of things. Why? This is the ambition that God has given to her. This is the work that we are doing to prepare people for that kind of work. And we want to partner with you in that work to see people sent out to these places around the world. Finally, we see here in verse 24, Paul continues on after kind of unpacking his ambition to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He says, but I hope to come to you. I'm planning to go to Spain, right? That was the ends of the earth for Paul. I'm going there, and I hope to stop in Rome and see you so that I can be helped. What does Paul mean there? I think he means financial support. I think this is what Paul means there. This is Paul's subtle Asian way of saying, I need your financial support, right? I hope to be helped by you on my journey. And this is a great picture for us. This is a great picture for us, right? Some are sent out and they go to these really hard places. Not all of us are, but we can partner with them. We can support them in the work that they are doing. All of us have a role to play. Some of us through prayer. Some of us through financial support. Some of us in short-term missions. Some of us in local church leadership to equip those who are going and being sent out. And the same is true again, right? This is the partnership that we have within the Malaysia Baptist Convention. And we say, look, as a collection of churches, as an association of churches, we want to see some people from our churches raised up and sent out like that. But we also recognize not every local church has the ability to train and equip people to do that. We need a seminary that can train and equip pastors for local churches, but also these missionaries that we're raising up and sending out. That's why we have MBTS. That's why we've organized things in that way. But for all of these things to work, we have to partner together and support one another. So, brothers and sisters, just say at MBTS, on behalf of MBTS, don't forget us. Don't forget us in this process of raising up the next generation of leaders, church leaders, pastors, scholars, missionaries. Yes, this is the work that we're doing. We need your support and partnership for it to work. We look back at missions history. One of my heroes is a guy by the name of Henry Martin. Henry Martin was Anglican, and this was in the 19th century, and he was brilliant. He was the top student in his high school, top student in his university. Won all the awards. He could have done anything that he wanted, but while he was in university, he became a believer, and he joined a church, and the church that he joined happened to be led by a pastor who had a heart for missions. The pastor would often preach about the needs of the world, and so Henry Martin said, "This is me. I want to go." And all these people around him were like, "Nah, probably not you. You're not very strong. You could do other things. No, not you. Maybe somebody else." And he's like, "No, this is God's calling on my life. I'm going. I'm doing this." And his friends, his family, all kinds of people told him, "This is a bad idea." And he went anyway. He went to India. And here's one of my favorite things about Henry Martin. He rowed, you know, in those days it's like get on a boat for like 4 or 5, 6 months and never come home. And he never did. He died. They actually died at the age of 32 because of some illness that he had. So he lands in India. He gets off the boat. He looks around at this new world. I mean, keep in mind, in those days, right, it really was like really, really different when you would travel like this. So he gets off the boat. He looks around and he says, "Now." Wrote this in his journal. "Now, let me burn out for God. Now, let me burn out for God." And every time I think about that, I think, yes. Yes. That's the calling on all of us. Right? We need engineers. We need teachers and tailors who say, "You know what? Let me burn out for God. Let me be an engineer who burns out for God. Let me do data entry in a way that I burn out for God. In a good way, in a healthy way, right? I am all that I'm doing is to glorify God all my life, all my work and let me parent and let me raise up my children for the glory of God. Let me live and work and let me be a neighbor. Let me be a child for the glory of God. This is what the church needs today. It's what the Malaysian church needs. Whatever it is that God may call me to do, let me do it for the glory of God so that He might be known and He might be worshiped by all the nations. We can't go to all the nations, right? But we can go wherever God plants us. Whether that's in work, whether that's in home, whether that's in our neighborhood, whether that's at the grocery store, let me glorify God in everything I do and everything I say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this shared task that you have given to the church. To make known your goodness, your faithfulness, your saving power. God, we thank you for this, and we pray you would give us wisdom to know how to do this, to know how to glorify you in our lives, to know how to share the gospel with those around us. God, give us a burden for this. Help us, remind us to pray more for the lost in our midst. And God, on behalf of MBTS, we pray you would help us as well to know how to equip all of God's children for the work that you have called them to do. And God, we pray you'd give us a burden, give us a desire, burn out for you, to live for you, to labor for your kingdom, so that we might see you honored and glorified in our world. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.